For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Folks, welcome in to Pickaxe and Roll, brought to you by our good friends over at Superbook Sports. I'm your host, Ryan Blackburn, at NBA Blackburn on Twitter, part of the Mile High Sports Podcast Network, and I am excited to talk about last night's Denver Nuggets win as the Nuggets defeat the Sacramento Kings. Final score, I believe it was 117-96. That is correct. 117-96 for the Denver Nuggets in what was a pretty impressive game. Overall, I won't speak to necessarily the first quarter because I don't think that that was necessarily that impressive, but was still good for Denver to sort of put their foot down a little bit. They didn't have the best start to things, but they certainly finished like a champion, and it was nice to see. Like, that's one where if you are a Nuggets fan, you get to get behind what was a blowout. There was a big, massive run in the middle of this game. Denver basically outscored the Sacramento Kings by 40 points in between the second and third quarter, which was dope. That's exactly what you want to see. You want to see them have that championship level. And it was cool. It was a good moment for sure. And I always like to be in the building in those moments because it's a nice reminder of last year where things were a little bit more fresh, obviously, in terms of the dominance. And I know that Nuggets fans are still very excited for sure about just being in the building and experiencing those moments. But you can only experience something for the first time once. And last year was great. This year, it's been pretty stressful, I think, in terms of, hey, you want to be dominant. You want to be in a good position to succeed for a repeat. And there's been a lot of pressure on that, obviously. So good to see Denver have some fun. Good to see Denver back on track. They've won four in a row now, four games out of the All-Star break. And they look very serious. They just look like a team that is in full gear and ready to go. Very, very exciting to see. Thank you, everybody, for stopping by to hang out. Saw Nadine Marcus was in the chat earlier. Cedric's here. Miguel Hernandez is here. Cedric is here. Dr. Van Nostrand's here. Thank you so much. And Rob Sheldon is here. So thank you so much to the regulars for stopping by and keeping this as a regular thing. Always nice to see. Let me know in the comments if you like this recording time or if you'd like me to go back to the late night recordings. I can't imagine that most people would, but it is probably nice to be able to wake up with this in the morning and, like, especially on a back-to-back like Denver just had. I could technically go live at nights at, like, 11, 11:30 when I get back from the apartment or get back from the game and get to my apartment, but I kind of like this recording time. It's in the late morning. It's a little bit delayed, and I tend to enjoy this one. It's also not really backing into anybody else's recording time, so I think that helps. But Either way, let's get into this one. Let's talk about last night's game. Denver goes down by 15 points, as many as 15 points in the middle of the second quarter. It was not a good sign. The only guy that was really scoring at the outset was Jamal Murray. He was scoring well. He was setting the table well for teammates. Christian Brown had several opportunities to hit shots and just couldn't really get anything to drop. He had multiple just go down and out. So always feel for a guy when you're in that situation, because I like the process was good, the shot was good, and it just didn't happen to work. But Denver wasn't getting their shots to go down, and Sacramento was, especially early on in this game. And then the second quarter run happens. And then you take a timeout, basically, I think it was around the 8:30 mark, the 8:27 mark of the second quarter. And I remember turning to my guy Vinny Benedetto, who will be on this show tomorrow after Denver faces the Miami Heat tonight. I'll talk about that in the third segment. But I will be, I was talking to Vinny at that time. We have a running commentary throughout the game, and mostly it's a one-sided thing where I'm sharing my thoughts and Vinny's just looking at me like, okay, dude. But we were chatting, and right at that point, it felt like a switch was flipped. And you could tell, because if any of you follow my rotation charts on X, Twitter, you could see the exact moment where Jokic, Gordon, Porter, KCP, all those guys come back into the game. I think it was Jokic, Porter, KCP, Murray stayed out there, and Peyton Watson was out there. And then Gordon comes back in. And it felt like at that exact moment, Denver was like, okay, we got to get serious. We got to put a run together here. And the dominance that Denver played with on both ends of the floor was awesome. It was great. That's exactly what you want to see. It took them a while to get into it, obviously. And I think it's fair to criticize them for taking your time to get into the game. It was not good process by any stretch of the word. But Denver rattled off a really nice run, beginning with Aaron Gordon just being very physical, getting to the rim, putting himself in front of the rim and dominating the opposition. His game last night was awesome, and I think it shows in the plus-minus, obviously. Michael Malone commented on this as well. 24 minutes, Aaron Gordon was plus 40. Plus 40 is a crazy number in that amount of time. And it was entirely that beginning, or like when he got in at the middle of the second quarter, and then when he exited towards the end of the third quarter, that was the run. And in that stretch of time, Denver could not miss for one, but they're also getting stops, and they're also running in transition, and they were forcing turnovers, and they were alley-ooping everywhere. They were hitting their outside shots. Denver made 15 of 35 threes. It's been a while since Denver's shot at that kind of percentage. Denver hasn't been great shooting the ball for that, like, for many games this year. They have times, they have occasions for sure. But when was the last time you saw a 53-43-91 shooting split from Denver as a team? Gordon was the one to really start that up. Jokic wasn't super aggressive in the middle of the floor, so Gordon took kind of that role last night. He was at the rim. He attempted 1 3. It was a late shot clock 3. It wasn't like he had to take it. And He goes 7 of 8 from the line, 7 of 7 from 2. This is back-to-back games, I think, where Gordon has shot 7 of 7 from 2-point range. And all of those shots are coming right at the rim. They are interior shots. They are very physical, going up against a guy that is either at the same size or smaller than him. And he's just finishing right over the top. It's been awesome to see. And he draws contact. He gets to the line for and ones. It was great. That's exactly what you want from Gordon. He was the guy that really helped flip that switch for Denver. And then everybody kind of riffed off of it. There's no doubt about it. I'll get into Jamal Murray more in the second segment, because I think that there are some extra points that I want to hit on Jamal Murray with the bench. But for the starters, like, you just look at the plus minuses all throughout. Take out Murray for a second, who was only a plus 7. KCP was plus 38. Jokic was plus 37. Michael Porter, who I thought had a kind of game, not necessarily good, but he was plus 35. It didn't matter. And then Gordon led the team with plus 40 in 24 minutes. It was crazy. Like, that was exactly what Denver needed. And they got a great burst from their group, from their entire group. Murray obviously led the way with his scoring, with his playmaking, and had some great moments both with the starters and with the bench. Kind of propped up what was a bad bench unit. But loved what I saw from the starters, especially carrying that into the third quarter. Because if you remember back to the previous Kings game, Denver had an opportunity at the end of the, like right before the break, where they were up by double digits. They were up, I think, by like 15, middle of the third quarter. And then Sacramento worked it back. They got it closer. And then the bench gave up a lead. And then the starters couldn't close. And Sacramento clearly finished strongly. And they stole a game from Denver that Denver should have won. That was not what happened last night. Denver put their foot on the gas. They won the third quarter 35-17. They won the second quarter 37-20. Between those two, that's a 35-point margin, which is insane. And just a great performance overall from Denver. A great performance from a team that absolutely needed it heading into the second night of a back-to-back tonight. Denver's got to win all of these games. If they want any chance of being a top seed, they've got to win all these games because none of the teams above them are going to give them an inch. So taking advantage in moments like this where De'Aaron Fox does not play, that was a big deal. It looked very different, the Kings did, without Fox, where Davion Mitchell wasn't really creating the kinds of offense that they were hoping for. Domantas Sabonis not necessarily creating the same level of potent offense. I thought Malik Monk was very good, but he was inefficient towards the end of this one. And Denver's defense really capitalized on the fact that they did not have to see Fox either. They were aggressive. They were physical. They got up into shooters. Kevin Huerter, somebody that Michael Malone had talked about being a threat, only shot 5 times, was 0 of 2 from 3 and 0 of 2 from the line. Really impressive stuff from Denver defensively. And that was part of the gear. It can't just be on the offensive end. It's got to be on the defensive end. Denver munders the Sacramento Kings. They only scored 96 points despite the fact that they scored 35 in the first quarter. And because you could tell where they got serious. You could absolutely tell. During quarters 2 and 3, they scored a combined 37 points, the Kings did, after scoring 35 in the first quarter. So it was very clear. It was very understandable. The starters did a fantastic job. Nikola Jokic gets a triple-double, another 3 steals and a block for Jokic as well. Like, the defensive impact with him is very good still. He's also grabbing a bunch of defensive rebounds. Wasn't really his best offensive game or anything like that, but other guys stepped up and did what needed to be done on that end. So really good stuff from Denver starters. I wasn't really impressed with Michael Porter personally. He has still some moments where I'm curious about what he's doing on the defensive end and frankly on the offensive end too. But there are levels that Denver's reaching to right now where if that is the only concerns that I have really, then Denver's doing pretty well. The entire rest of the starting unit outside of Porter shot at least 55% from the field. Like, things are going pretty well. And Denver's getting some great production from their guys. And it looks really good when Denver's locked in. So we will see. We'll see where they continue to go. But let's take a break. When we come back, we are going to chat about Jamal Murray specifically, as well as the bench unit and just kind of some notes I have on that group. But first, everybody, this podcast, as you know, it's brought to you by our good friends over at Superbook Sports. You know that they are changing the game and they are giving you plenty of opportunities with a direct line to Las Vegas where you can use promo code MILEHIGH and score up to $250 with their first bet bonus. Win or lose, Superbook will match your first bet up to $250 with promo code MILEHIGH. Download the Superbook Sports app, enter the promo code, and you'll get $250. Courtesy of Superbook Sports. Visit superbook.com for terms and conditions. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. We'll be right back on Pickaxe and Roll.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
And we're back. Pickaxe and Roll, Ryan Blackburn here. Thank you so much, everybody, for tuning in. A couple housekeeping notes before we get into the Jamal Murray discussion. Shirts. Final couple of days to get your shirts here. The Mile High Sports Joker logo. Selling pretty well. We're pretty happy with the way that it's going, but we've only got a couple more days left on this before it stops on March 2nd. The reason why it stops on March 2nd, and you could make sure to get the shirts in with the link in the description. Reason why it's stopping on March 2nd is because we're having a watch party. I'm sorry about the weird angle here, but we are having a watch party partnering with Denver Stiffs and Mile High Sports, and we're going to go to number 38 and have a fantastic time. If you are in the Denver area, you do not want to miss this. We're giving away lots of different stuff, going to have a live DJ, going to get some good deals on alcohol and things of that nature. We're going to have fun. They've got a really awesome venue here at number 38. And the awesome thing is, I'll be doing a post-game podcast that night with both Swipe a Cam and Zach Mikosh. Really excited to be with my guys, Zach Mikosh, who I have not podcasted with in a long time. But if you know my origins, I used to be the site manager at Denver Stiffs, while Zach was my deputy site manager. So we are very familiar. It's going to be a lot of fun, going to be very nostalgic, and you get to watch the Nuggets face the Lakers on Saturday night. So make sure to RSVP at number 38. The link also for that is down in the description. So make sure to go sign up for that and go get a nice opportunity there. It's a lot of fun. And we can meet. We'll chat hoops. That'll be great. In person. And also, this podcast will not be aired on YouTube for that night on Saturday. So go get it in person. Go see it in person. It would be a lot of fun. All right. Let's chat about Jamal. Sorry, just catching up on some comments here. We'll address this. When will other teams' fans give you respect, Ryan? It was funny watching you argue with other fans. You know what? I do it to myself. If I'm being honest, like, I don't have to argue with anybody, and I just choose to. It's a horrible, horrible choice most of the time. Arguing with people on the internet is the worst. It's a really, really bad idea. Just don't do it. Unless you're arguing in my comment section where you're constantly commenting. Do that. It helps grow the channel. It would be awesome. Just kidding. Jamal Murray. Jamal Murray was great. Jamal Murray was spectacular, if I'm being honest. Some of the shots that he was hitting were insane, and it's just nice to watch him reach that level on a more consistent basis. Out of the All-Star break, Jamal's been great in basically every game that he's played. Only played three games out of the four so far, but if you go to his box scores. Had 32 points and 6 assists in the last game. Here are his numbers if you average out the 3 games. 25.7 points, 5.7 assists, 64.6% from the field, 57% from the line, or from 3, and then 100% from the line. Averaging over a steal and a block as well. Like, Jamal's been locked in, man. He has been very, very good, and it's exciting to watch him. Because when he reaches that level, when he reaches that apex, Denver's basically unbeatable. There's no way you can really match up with them and match up with him and Jokic and those two together all at once, because they do some great, great things. Jamal was creating, especially with those bench units, he was creating individual offense really, really well. And I'll give him credit for that, because he was also creating and assisting other guys pretty well, or at least setting them up to succeed. I thought he did a great job of setting up Christian Brown, if I'm being honest. Christian did not shoot well. Sometimes that happens. Sometimes maybe Christian will go 50% from the field and 50% from 3 the next time, because, and then that'll give Jamal 8 assists, 9 assists, 10 assists, whatever you want to say. But they were doing everything they could. Like, the Kings were doing everything they could. They were hard hedging at one point. At one point, early in the second quarter, they were hard hedging, even with Jokic on the floor, just trying to get the ball out of Murray's hands, trying to disrupt him as much as possible. But Murray's done such a great job of getting the ball to Jokic out of that and using that release valve. And then that opens up the rest of Denver's offense. It's why you get the Aaron Gordon 4-on-3s. It's why you get where he lobs it, where you get that lob from Jokic and he lobs that up. It's great. Jamal is the important piece. Like, Jokic is obviously the most important piece when you go to that 3-man combo. You have Jokic catching the ball, setting up Aaron Gordon, getting the high percentage shot, obviously. But all three of them are important. And second most important in that is Jamal, where you have to make sure to get Jokic the ball on time, on target, and in space. And he did a great job of that too, on top of just going 13 of 15 from the field and 5 of 6 from 3. It's funny, at one point he was 13 of 16. I'm not sure where they took that other shot away, but good on them, I guess, for taking it away, because it made it, like, a 13 out of 15 game is insane. That is a crazy number. I'm going to do a quick stat head search right now while we're chatting, just to see if I can come up with the most efficient 30-point games of this season. As long as this actually pops up, that would be great. Okay, let's go 2023-24, 30 points, and let's see if we can sort by true shooting percentage. That's what I want to see. Yes, we can. True shooting percentage so far this season. Okay. I don't know if that's actually going to happen. Or why did this go to WNBA? I have no idea why I just did that, but okay. No worries. Let's go NBA instead. That was weird. 30-point games that are the most efficient based off of true shooting percentage so far this season. Damian Lillard had one against the Dallas Mavericks that was a 110 true shooting. George Niang had one that was 107.7 true shooting. Malik Beasley had one that was 107 true shooting. Jamal Murray, fourth most efficient 30-point game this year at 103.6% true shooting. That's pretty impressive. That's a good number. And it's what happens. Like, Jamal can get on these runs where he is one of the most efficient shot makers in the NBA, and they're tough shots too. Like, Kyrie Irving gets into this mode as well, where you doesn't really matter what shots he's taking. When they're all going down, you throw up your hands if you're the opposition. And Jamal was hitting these step backs, these turnarounds, these fadeaways and fallaways. He was in his bag, just absolutely cooking. And that was a nice, nice moment for Denver. And like, when he gets into that place, Denver, like I said, Denver's basically unbeatable. 6-0, I believe, in Jamal's 30-point game so far this year. Denver is. Because you know what you're getting from Jokic. You know what you're getting from Aaron Gordon and guys like that. When Jamal kind of raises his level, it's impossible to stop the Nuggets. So great on Denver for setting him up and great on Jamal for really delivering in this moment. He was not happy postgame. I don't know what to tell you. I did my best. It's funny in some of those postgame pressers where nobody really knows what to ask Jamal when he's in a mood. And he is in his biggest and most foul moods when he is playing really well. It's hard to really get the best out of him sometimes. But I asked him about Fall Out Boy and Jimmy Butler, and he said he had no idea what I was talking about. So all good. We're just having a ball, having a good time. Here's an interesting stat, or here's an interesting comment. Gabriel says, Jamal's killing right now, but I thought he should have sat the fourth quarter. It's funny, like, Malone said something of that ilk, too. He said something like that where he wanted to get Jamal out at various points in that fourth quarter, but the game was a little bit close. You're like, okay, it's 20 points, it's 25 points, kind of ranging in that range, and Murray finally sits. After playing the first 7 minutes of the fourth quarter, I think he sat at the 5 minute mark or so. And he only played 33 minutes. It's not like he played a crazy number. And like, these were hard minutes. There's no doubt about it. He was putting on a great performance. So hopefully this doesn't affect his status for tonight, but I do think that it's at least possible that it does. So hopefully we get a nice Jamal Murray versus Jimmy Butler opportunity as well. That'll be great. And 5555-ish drops it in here. We just saw the Clippers blow a 21-point lead. Malone isn't crazy when he thinks no lead is safe. Absolutely. Like, the Nuggets have blown leads like that before. It's been a while since they've blown a crazy lead like that. I think I go back to the 2021-22 season when I see those as well. It's just Denver has too much talent to really blow those leads that much. But they've done it. It's like they've blown 15-point leads like it's nothing. So I fully understand why Malone is trying to guarantee these victories. And like, when Jamal's cooking the way that he is, you don't want to take him off the floor either. Just give him an opportunity to see where he can go. I hope that is something that, like, you want to see these guys do some crazy things. You want to see them have fun within the game. And clearly Jamal was having a good time. Oh, by the way, the back cut that he had on the Jokic vertical pass to him over the top, where he stops and then flips the ball up off the glass while Keon Ellis is on his back, that was a crazy shot. That was a lot of fun to watch. And I called it from my seat. I was like, okay, he's got this. And even when, like, you saw Keon Ellis just laying on top of him, like, I thought he would still make it. That was sick. And just nice to see him really fully just get everything to go. It was a great sign for Denver. I want to wrap up with 5 minutes on the bench here before we get to the another break. 5 minutes on the bench. I was criticized last night for bringing up the fact that Denver's bench was not very good, despite the fact that Jamal was cooking. And you just look at the plus minuses, man. Like, Zeke Nnaji was a minus 19 in 14 minutes. Peyton Watson was minus 18. Justin Holiday played. He was minus 14 in 12 minutes. He played some garbage time, so I don't really care that much about that one. Reggie Jackson was plus 12. He spent a lot of his time with the starters on their positive run. And then Christian Brown was minus 13. Christian was the one who I think, like, you can identify the most of, like, hey, if he makes his shots, if he makes the open ones, then it feels a little bit different. Or if he goes 3 of 6 as opposed to 1 of 6, feels a lot different for sure. But I do want to make it clear, like, Zeke is still struggling. He had a great defensive game. 1 steal, 3 blocks. He did some great defensive things. 0 of 4 from the field, 0 of 1 from 3. Peyton Watson, 2 turnovers, dribbling into nowhere. He had a couple of nice finishes in the first half, but then really, really struggled on both ends of the floor in the second half. Like, his defense was not good. He got 1 block, but it was not good. Christian Brown struggled defensively a little bit himself, although I thought he struggled a little bit less than Peyton. And Justin Holiday just didn't really make much of an impact either. So I look at some of these groups, I look at some of these lineups, and I know that Denver's going to cut down on the rotation in a playoff run. I understand that, and that's fair. But I do think it's fair to be critical where, like, they absolutely could have had an opportunity to sign somebody else to give them a little bit of a jolt, give them a little bit of a boost, and they decided not to. That's fine. It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. Denver is still probably going to be representing the Western Conference in the NBA Finals. I won't say that they're going to win it. I won't say that they're going to be awesome. Like, they might lose. They absolutely might. My entire thing was trying to give everything you could to win and to put yourself into the best position to succeed. And right now, with the way that Denver's bench is, I don't feel so good about it. Like, is it all going to be 42 minutes for the starters? Is that just what we're going to do? Is that how this is going to go? That's a large burden to put on those guys, especially when some of Denver's best looks from the playoffs last year were Bruce Brown in place of Jamal Murray when Jamal Murray had to rest, and Bruce Brown in place of Michael Porter at times when Denver needed to close with a defensive-minded and aggressive downhill group. Like, you have some of those other opportunities and options that you can go to. And if Denver's only main option this year is, yeah, we're going to play the starters, then there's going to be a team that's in the playoffs. And I don't know which team it is, by the way. It's like, this is me trying to conjecture where I'm not sure if this is going to come to pass. But I think there's at least a possibility that Denver gets got by a team where you didn't have the right mix and you needed one extra body off the bench. You needed one extra defender or shooter or big rebounder or something like that. And Denver just not really doing anything. It just puts a lot of strain on it. That's all I'm trying to say. That's all I've ever tried to say on it. And I think you look at games like last night where the starters are so good, where they are so dominant, and it is so clear how ready they are for that moment, that I look at the bench and I'm like, man, which of you is ready to really join? And like, it could be Reggie, it could be Christian, it could be Peyton. Like, any of those three guys could step up, absolutely. And if they do, more power to them. More power to Denver. But I also think it's fair to have questions about that, like, especially with what we've seen so far. So, Michael Malone made a comment in the postgame presser last night. Yeah, you had some people jumping off of bridges or in Denver because we lost three games in a row. I will say that I was not that. I know that he was mostly directing it in my general direction or in, like, Kisla's general direction, where he was like, yeah, Denver's not winning a championship. And he wrote an article about that. But I also think that it's fair to, like, be a little bit concerned. I don't know. Like, everybody in Denver seems to, like, everybody with the Nuggets seems to think it's fine, we're fine. And they're probably right because they are way smarter than I am. I'm just here trying to share what I see and trying to be honest about it. I've never not been honest in these situations, and it gets me into trouble. Like, it does, because I do what I can to be honest and to be fair and to be open-minded on Denver maybe not being the best team in the NBA. Maybe that's wrong. Maybe I should just, like, be a homer, like, just be the ultimate homer for the team and just not have any negative views, like, just have complete and utter full faith. And to be frank, I do. Like, I have faith in Jokic and Murray. I've said that pretty consistently, that until they fail, I'm always going to believe that they're going to get it done. Like, always. It's not about them that I have the concerns. It's about, like, other aspects of it. Man, Cedric is sharing all the content. I need links to this stuff, Cedric, because I don't actually see it for the most part, even though I'm sure it's there. But look, is what it is. I'm not going to make a bunch of friends by being concerned and being like, hey, this could be a problem. But look, it is what it is. I know you all know, and you're all here because you care and because you know that I care. And that's all good. And I know that's going to be, it's going to be fine. Everything's going to be all right. And we get to, like, look, it's going to feel all the sweeter if Denver does win in June. Like, that's going to be great. And we get to all bask in that together, regardless of how, like, whether we had concerns or not. So, look, I'm excited for it. Let's take a break. When we come back, we are going to chat about the Nuggets and Heat rematch tonight.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Final segment here. Thank you so much, everybody, for tuning into the show. Really appreciate all the love and support on the podcast. If you can, it would be awesome if you could rate, review, and subscribe to the pod down below. Hit the like button, hit the subscribe button. That would be dope. That would be awesome. Thank you so much. We have another game tonight in Denver. Be going downtown later tonight. The Nuggets will play the Miami Heat in a rematch of the NBA Finals on leap day. It's a leap day today, February 29th. Always fun to see that. Denver is going to be on the second night of a back-to-back, obviously. Miami is not in a great situation themselves. They're in a pretty tough schedule. Just going in and looking at their thing, I believe that they're in the midst of a long road trip, which is why they're out here. Oh, yeah, they are at the tail end of a long road trip. Listen to this. Listen to this road trip that actually, you know what? It kind of goes in between the All-Star break. So I'll discount those games. They played a back-to-back at Milwaukee and at Philly right before the All-Star break. Then they had the All-Star break. Then they've been on the road again for a four-game road trip at New Orleans, at Sacramento, at Portland, and then at Denver. So they are at the end of it. I know that they're going to be motivated. They've won five games in a row. They've won seven of their last eight. Looks like they've won even nine of their last 11. They are in a good place, Miami is. And Swipa loves to talk about this all the time. And we previewed this game a little bit on Mile High Sports. So if you saw a video that came out at 10, there's another video that goes into depth on this matchup as well. Really excited for that. 55555-ish says, Thomas Bryant gets his ring tonight. At least we hope. I think he does. I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen because Thomas Bryant in that New Orleans Pelicans game got suspended for fighting Jose Alvarado on the side after a brawl. He that kind of spilled into the crowd a little bit, and he, like, this big 7-foot dude in Thomas Bryant decided, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to fight the smallest guy on the floor, which I don't really have a ton of respect for. I know that Alvarado's probably talking crazy and that's the reason why he did it. But like, come on, man. Like, what are you doing? So he is still suspended. And I think that, like, okay, so 55555-ish says he has to leave the arena after he gets it, though, from what I heard. So he'll get that ring. He will be honored by the Nuggets. Interesting that the only real player on Denver that was on the team last year that didn't get the ring was Bones. Obviously, Thomas Bryant was there throughout. Like, he earned it. He deserved it. This was an opportunity that he had. So good on him, obviously. But it's funny. It's just funny. Like, Thomas Bryant was not, like, he struggled. He struggled in his time with Denver, and I'm sure that that will be interesting to see just what his reaction, what the reaction from the crowd is like, because I think with Ish Smith, with Jeff Green, those guys, you could see the veteranness. Jeff obviously even played. With Bruce Brown, you could really feel the love when he was there. Oh, yeah. And Dr. Ben Ostrand also says Davon Reed as well. Davon Reed did not get a ring. That was interesting. They both basically played about the same time with Denver. So not really too concerned on that front either way. But yeah, interesting to see how Denver kind of handles it. It's very clear that they were like it's always nice to see guys come back in. But in terms of the actual rematch, Miami's playing great. Miami's playing great basketball. They are in a good position right now. Standings wise, just let me refresh this just to make sure I am all the way up to date. They are all the way up to the fifth seed. The Philadelphia 76ers are in the sixth seed now because they've lost seven of their last 10 games. They've lost in that, but Miami's won 8 of their last 10 and they have identical records, but Philly keeps sliding. They are probably going to slide into the play-in. Like Indiana playing pretty well. Orlando still playing pretty well in the 7 and 8 seeds there. So Philly's probably going to slide all the way out. But Miami in a good position themselves. They might even pass New York, man. Like New York is in they've been in a tough position without OG Anunoby and Julius Randle with the injuries that those guys have sustained. So Miami's running up the standings right now with Jimmy Butler sort of rounding back into form. Jaime Jaquez is one of their most important players creating offense, especially without Jimmy when he's not out there. And Bam Adebayo's been very steady. Tyler Hero's been good, not great, I would say. But it's interesting. It's just fascinating to watch this team and watch them kind of round into form a little bit. They play these tough, close games and then out-execute you down the stretch. And that's what Denver likes to play, where they out-execute you down the stretch. So I'm curious to see, coming off of a second out of back-to-back here for Denver, what they have in store. Miami's probably tired themselves. They've had to stress a little bit, especially with the beginning of this road trip, beginning with a brawl that had a lot of guys suspended. So will be interesting to see. Jimmy, I don't think, is suspended for this game, but Thomas Bryant will be. So going to be a fun one. Going to be an enjoyable one. I'll look forward to these teams kind of going back and forth at it once again. Going to be a lot of fun. I always love to see. I think Jamal will play. I think there's a possibility that Jamal does not play. Just I would say it's 50-50, and I'm curious to see what the injury report looks like here in the next couple hours. But I think Jamal will play. Had an opportunity on the front end of the back-to-back to sit. He didn't, and I think it's tough for Denver. Like, TNT's probably airing this as a they're probably airing this as a NBA Finals rematch, obviously, and like Jamal was a big part of that finals. And so you're not gonna want one of those stars to sit. TNT and the league will definitely do everything they can to get Jamal to play. I wouldn't expect an amazing Jamal game. I would expect Jokic to really show up and do what he can in this matchup. Bam Adebayo is very physical. He will do what he can to get some revenge after the finals. And then Jimmy. Aaron Gordon's a great Jimmy Butler defender. I think KCP will be a good matchup there. Michael Porter, when he gets switched onto Jimmy, will be pretty good as well. So Denver's going to be in a good spot. I wonder how Jaime Jaquez does in this situation. He should absolutely be out there in clutch time and doing some interesting things. So Denver's going to try to take Jaime Jaquez through the ringer a little bit, but it's going to be a fun one. These teams are going to be really, really good. It would not surprise me in the slightest now if the Heat make a playoff run. Think about where the standings are. As I mentioned, they are now in the 5 seed. Boston's in the 1, Cleveland's at 2, Milwaukee's at 3, New York's at 4, Miami's at 5. So Miami versus New York, can Miami win that series? Absolutely. Can Miami win a Boston series? Absolutely. We just saw it last year. Now it's a little bit different because they've got Drew Holiday and they've got Kristaps and they've got just a slightly different mix a little bit. But it is one of those things where Miami could absolutely make a run because that's who they are. It's just who they are at this point. So yeah. And Rob is making fun in the comments. I would expect Jokic to show up because I like to really go out there on a limb, Rob. Thank you for pointing that out. Let me know down in the comments what you think Denver's going to do in this game, how you would expect them to show up. Denver's obviously won 4 in a row. Miami's won 5 in a row. These teams are playing their best where they're playing a great brand of basketball right now, each of them. And this should be a fun matchup. Just if everybody's healthy, if everybody's playing, this should be really fun. So I'm looking forward to it. Going to be very exciting. Everybody, I think that's going to do it for this episode of Pickaxe and Roll. Really appreciate the love and support. As I mentioned, make sure to hit that like button, hit that subscribe button. And if you missed it earlier, we have a, let me just find the thing here. We have a live show that is going to be happening on Saturday night at number 38. Link down in the description if you want to go see that in person. If you're in the Colorado area, I would love to see you there. I'd love to see you introduce yourselves to me. Introduce yourselves to Swipa and to Zach Mikosh and guys like that. We're going to have fun post-game. Hopefully the Nuggets defeat the Lakers and can continue to say that the who's your daddy thing should be fun. Everybody, that's going to do it for this episode of Pickaxe and Roll. Hit that like button on the way out. Really appreciate all the love and support. I will talk to you guys tomorrow.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.